What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Just a Pizza Guy podcast, episode 1, featuring Bubba Bradley. Brought to you by First Form. First Form is a supplement company that I had the opportunity to be a part of their Legionnaire program, and I'm going to talk about their CTC Formula 1 protein. And I imagine it's probably because of legal issues that it's called CTC, but it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I'm sure they can't put that on their bottles, but it's hands down my favorite protein that I've ever had. The way that Cinnamon Toast Crunch tastes after you're completely done eating that milk that's left over, that's what it tastes like. You can just tell by looking at it, it's like high quality protein. It shakes up in like 2 or 3 shakes. It's not like you're sitting there all day just shaking the hell out of it. It breaks down real smooth. There's no clumps in it. And a testament to the quality of protein that's in it, you could leave that shaker unrinsed for a little bit. You know, sometimes you put it back in your bag and you forget about it, and then you get to it 5, 6 hours later and it always starts to smell. Not the case with this protein. They have a lot of explanations. There's a lot of explanations why their protein's better than their competitions, and it's mostly due to a slow drying process. They don't use high heat for their protein when they're breaking down whey. There's more to it, but I'll keep it short and sweet. If you want any more information on it, you can contact me on Just a Pizza Guy Facebook. But if it's something that you want to check out or you're interested in, I'd highly suggest it. I think it's a great product. I would buy protein for the longest time, and the only kind I would buy would be the kind that was red tagged. Anything that was on sale, I just felt that, well, protein's protein, and it's not the case. Since a lot of people ask me what kind of protein that I like or what I use, CTC, or I would call it Cinnamon Toast Crunch, is my favorite of the Formula One line. And you can get that by logging on to justapizzaguy.firstform.com. You log in under that and you get free shipping. And if you're in the St. Mary's area and you want a free sample of it, just stop by. Stop down and see me. Message me. And here we go. This will be the first podcast. Special shout out to Bubba for giving me the launch pad for this too. And we had talked about podcasting, and he was good enough to come in and let me do a podcast on his show, which I think was really awesome of him, and then use this as an opportunity to get mine going. So it kind of forced me to get the ball rolling on something I wanted to start for a long time. So shout out to Bubba. And make sure you check out the prior podcast, because we did them back to back. See All Things Country podcast, episode 6. So there might be some things that we're referencing in there, and we do joke about it on there. So check it out, atcpod.com. Episode 6. That way you can catch all the references. Here is the first episode of Just a Pizza Guy podcast.
So, little bang.
I'm pretty bad with liquids. Like, I need liquids all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's like, you know, it's a pretty generic saying, but I'm like, I'll be sitting there just pounding water out, or like, I really like those Flavor Splash squirt things that like you...
Oh, yeah, use the shit out of those, man.
Oh, man, I'll pull a whole rack when I go to Walmart. I'll be like, pink lemonade?
take it.
And the cooks will be like, hey, I knew you were out of Walmart the other night because there was not a single pink lemonade thing left. So I love liquids. You got to have them.
Yeah?
Can't get enough.
I'm trying to drink more water and cut out on the sugars. Like this Gatorade I'm drinking right now is bad for you, but at least it has electrolytes, I guess. Whatever the hell that is. Potassium, basically.
Yeah, you got to bounce it out.
Right. But what I do, instead of drinking soda... I'll go out to Walmart and buy the, like the Crystal Light, and then I'll do like a black cherry. I'll mix that, and then I'll buy that, black cherry, sugar-free water that they have. I'll mix it together with a little bit of Tropical Punch Kool-Aid squirt thingy, and it'll be like a carbonated beverage.
Mixologist.
So it's kind of like soda, but not, but then there's the aspartame. I don't know.
You say that's bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I've been swallowing gum for years.
Have you?
Yeah, if it is bad, you know, we're in too deep.
Right. Is that in gum?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Anything sugar-free. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably in this.
Probably.
I hope not.
Well, they have that aspartame, that phenyl,
yeah, the one that they would put in, like, red.
Yeah, with like, the asterisks.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad for you, but they made sure to point it out in red. Red bold font.
Yeah, why? You're not fooling us. Right?
Yeah, I kind of spaced out there for a second. I was kind of looking at my bang, and I was thinking about how much I had left. So, I mean.
Your lack of bang?
Yeah, we're in the danger zone.
The danger zone. That's because I asked you, like, what is the danger zone? He's like about a half inch left at the bottom.
I'm like trying to keep it away from me from my right hand. So I got to cross over so, like, I conserve my sips.
Right.
I'll probably bring this other bottle of water up, and that'll so feed the liquid.
You can go between.
Yeah.
Because you cut it up. We were talking about you like the liquids.
That's number one. Right. You know, that's up there. I like liquids. Some liquids in a hot kitchen.
It's necessary. Well, it's got to be something to it. Liquids over food. You can survive, 7-10 days without food? You can only go 3 without water at the most.
And you get messed up if you're not in the water. I mean, if you don't have liquids in you, you get headaches.
Yeah.
And you notice right away when you're dehydrated.
Yeah. So you can literally go, them guys on that show go 14, 15 days without food. No, you can 3 weeks is how long you can last without food. 3 weeks.
No thanks, though.
Yeah, no. But, 3 days without water, you're toast. Or any liquid. Doesn't matter what you're drinking, really. At that point, your body just needs it. So, yeah.
So.
I think you're on the right track.
So I should just start off like that. Like, welcome, everybody. Welcome, Bubba Bradley. And this is the Just a Pizza Guy podcast.
Nice.
And I like liquids.
And yeah, I like liquids.
And that's the end. And then we just cut it. We just fade out.
Done. Done. You got it. You got the gist of the show. You got the name. I like it.
I got my message out. I mean, that's when I came, I saw. You know, I told, you know, there's not much more I can tell people. I'm like,
that's why I like that. This is my message. This is my credo right here. I like liquids. Thank you.
Everybody have a good night.
That's awesome. So this is your first episode.
Episode number one.
Awesome.
And you're busting.
I am honored.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Stoked. And then on top of it, it worked out, you know, like people can jump back now. Like this is a to be continued. This is the, now you have to, if you want to know any references to Gooch Eggs.
Right.
To, you know, working in a school
for free.
Pokemon Go,
tampons.
These damn kids, they just don't know.
Yep.
So if you don't understand these references, you got to go back and you got to see part one.
Yeah.
On All Things Country.
Yeah. I think it'll be episode number, probably number six. So.
Six. I feel good being six.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. We'll make six happen then.
Six. And if not, you know, I'm flexible. Just like maybe put, he likes liquids. Just put that in there.
This is going to be like the bio. Medi Funaghi. He likes liquids.
Pretty much it.
Listen to the podcast. Yeah. It'll be great. Well, that's awesome. So I'm happy to be here as a part of it. Podcasting is fun, man.
And I, you know, like we were talking about earlier, it's all similar baseline things that we both have interest in that.
Yeah.
We can sit and BS and it's not a forced conversation. It's not, you know, especially like, I don't know if you feel this way, but, you know, especially, I can assume this just because we have similar baselines with stuff that being around people a lot kind of, you kind of don't want to talk sometimes. You just kind of, it's like your battery's kind of drained. So do small talk sometimes.
It's brutal. It's grueling. Yeah. Very grueling. That's a great point. Yeah. I get that way being around just touring and doing shows. It's like, I just got to, but it's what the people want to talk about. Like, oh, you're a comic. And they don't care about you or know you. You know what I mean? It's like, even now you probably get that too. People come in here, they know that you own the restaurant so that they want to talk to you. Not that that's a bad thing, but that's what they know. So it's like, then you got to make that small talk with them. And it's like, it's brutal.
You turn into like one of those pull string dolls where like you have like 5 go-to phrases. Pull the string. And my buddy makes fun of me all the time because it's like, you know, I always say, like do a bit. We'll be like, oh, you know, the weather, you know, you got that hurt. You know, it's going to rain. Yeah, we need it. You know, and then I'll try to push off of that.
Whoop.
And now I'm giving away the secrets. You know, I'm going to stop now.
People are going to know. Yeah.
It's like, he pulled the weather thing.
Yeah. You should have stopped at the water. I like liquids.
I like liquids. We'll go back to everything.
You're giving too much away.
Oh, yeah.
Giving too much away.
So, where you want to start at in terms of where we left off on the last one? Because this, I think.
We were flowing really good.
Yeah. I mean, we could probably go into bow hunting a little bit. That's where we left off. So now it's kind of like that, you know, that Happy Days episode where he's about to jump the shark, or, you know, like the Family Matters episode where, like, Eddie gets beat up by the rival gang.
I don't remember that one.
I might have made that up. I
mean, it's something that could definitely happen.
I'd have to go back and look.
Right.
I might have fabricated some things and just mashed that all together and went,
Oh, like everything. Yeah, that's when Eddie got molested in the bike shop, and then
that was a different story. And then Steve turned into Stefan the Investigator. Remember, he'd be like,
oh yeah,
had that run there for a while where they're like, okay. He was, I imagine it was probably Steve Urkel was saying, I can do different characters. Stop making me be this nerd.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like, let me be the cool guy. Because he was probably just like famous, but I mean, girls would probably take him as a joke. But then maybe Stefan was a fabrication of his own, you know, of his own ego trying to put it out there like, hey guys.
I bet.
Ladies, I'm actually smooth. Did you see my dance moves? I came out of that booth with a suit on.
Right. I have a suit. No more suspenders. I have a suit.
And I can dance the slow jams.
Right.
So he just did these weird dances, and Laura was just...
She just loved them. How funny is that, though? Because it shows you what... That couldn't fly in today's culture. People would be up in arms if, you know, like this geek couldn't get the girl, but the smooth guy, same guy, just different outfit, could. People would lose their mind about that nowadays, right?
Absolutely. People would be like, that's not fair. You're portraying people that aren't, you know, like all of a sudden there would be like two different classifications of people.
Right.
Like smooth and then nerdy. And then there'd be like hashtags about it. Like,
oh my God.
Nerdy's not a sin, or nerdy, you know, nerdy's cool with me. And then like, you know, like just some, and then all of a sudden you have a whole group of people like, this guy's just naturally smooth. You run into smooth people like here and there. There's just some dudes that just, man, he's cool as hell. I don't know how he pulls it off. He just walks cool. He does everything. And then, but then that would be like they smooth shame you.
Yeah, they would smooth you.
He'd be like, hey, I don't really like all that smooth. Mm. So why don't you walk a little more awkward, okay? Slouch a little bit. Don't be walking around with your chest out like that. Don't be walking around proud.
Put that posture down. What's going on?
We'd really like you to walk more a little. Maybe like a caveman. Maybe you do that. Can you be a little more unsure about yourself?
Yeah, it's not fair to them hunchbacks running around everywhere.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's exactly what would happen, though. Yeah, it'd be a movement.
Yeah, social media age, there'd be a lot of people virtue-seeking to knock down the smooth guy. Or maybe the nerd guy. You know, they'd be like, hey, you know, that's not fair. You know, Stefan Urkel, that's what was his real name.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was Stephen Urkel.
Stephen Urkel. Something weird, yeah.
So they would have been like, hey, he's smart. You know, I'm smart too. I'm the same person. You know, like, so you could go back and forth, but there would definitely be a divided group.
Yeah, I can't see it flying. But all that stuff, even the Rudolph story back in the day now people get up in arms about that because, well, they only like him because he was useful. Well, I think it's a good message. You know what? Be useful in life.
Yeah, make your weaknesses your strengths.
Do something,
and maybe stop feeling bad for yourself. Rudolph pulled through in a clinch. We didn't have problems with that. Like the generations that came up.
No, but yeah, be useful in life. Do something. So bad.
Or if you're not, you might get an arrow put in.
You might get an arrow put in.
You know, that's the circle of life.
Best transition ever. I love that. Great transition.
You could be just out in the middle of the woods feeling sorry for yourself, and all of a sudden, that red nose pops up.
Pops up.
I'm in a tree stand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I'm going to be able to yield my own meat.
Right.
I'm going to be able to drag Rudolph out. You know, like now, you know, some people might get offended because now they're picturing Rudolph speaking and talking, and that's definitely not...
Now you humanized him.
Yeah, that's definitely what I wouldn't want to do. I would definitely have some reverence when I'm harvesting the animal.
Say a little prayer, thank you.
I'd be real quiet, and I'd wait. You know, maybe I would like put my hand over his nose as it dims.
As you like when they close the eyes in the movie. Yeah, just real soft. It's okay. Just snuffing out. Yeah.
You're just gonna drift away now, Rudolph.
Some gangster shit, man.
You'll be useful now. I'm going to quarter you, and I'm going to make you into meat. And I'll think about you every day that I eat you.
That's funny. I should even ask, are we good to swear on you? Not that I'm going to swear a lot, but I don't know.
Absolutely. This is going to be one of those things that I was thinking about it a lot. And I was like, I really wanted to do it. We had spoken about it. And I feel like, you know, there's certain aspects of my life where I try to be respectful and do certain things the right way, but I just feel like, you know, this is the Just a Pizza Guy podcast thing is like an extension of how I felt when I was younger. Like people, like would be like, are you just gonna deliver pizzas the rest of your life? This is like the this is like my little outlet to be the person that I don't have to worry about what I say or what I do.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, because I mean, that was one of the things I'd hear all the time, especially growing up in this town.
Everyone knows you.
Yeah. And, you know, like one of the, you know, I'm not bitter about it, but like I remember, just like we were talking about, please see All Things Country podcast, episode right. 6, possibly, I Like Liquids. You have to, you know, working to go to school for free and stuff like that. Right. So college, I felt like, was completely out of the question for me. So I just kind of resented it over time. I'm like, why would you have to pay to go to school to learn something when you could just go to a library? If you wanted to be fit, you could just go run and like do push-ups.
Right.
You can like, why can't school be free? So then I had like this resentment towards it. And then eventually I just gravitated towards whatever. I was still, I mean, it wasn't like an overnight kind of, I was on this douchey path where I just was like super negative mindset where, you know, we were talking about smoking cigarettes and
right.
just put the pizza shop and deliver, like just working and being satisfied with what I'm doing. Like, I'm okay. I'm working towards this. I got this car now. I got it. And it was all from delivering pizza. And I moved out of my house. I was 18. So like moved right out.
I see, like, you're sustaining your life, man.
Yeah. And it was satisfying mm-hmm. on a small level, but as time goes on, you always want to improve.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember all the time, you know, go out to a bar or something. Maybe someone come up to you, maybe a girl or whatever. Like, they would talk to you like you were almost like a patient with an illness or something. You still delivering pizza?
Oh.
And it's like, yep. And I don't hate my life. So right? I'm going to go stand over here now.
Jeez.
So, but yeah. it's one of those things that it was fuel, but at the same time, you don't want it to be something that's like an anchor for you.
Right.
You know? But it's a nice thing to reference all the time.
To look back on. Well, now, and then you look at these people that would have said that, oh, you just pizza guy. Well, no, because now you own the best restaurant in town, for sure. I mean, you bought steak into that pizza place that you were just a pizza mm-hmm. delivery. Pizza, I mean, yeah, right? So, I mean,
yeah. It comes full circle. It's a good, and that was the other, you know, if it was a prong on it, like to just maybe if there's someone that is in a similar situation or doesn't feel like, Maybe school's not for them.
Yeah.
Maybe like whatever society is trying to like, cause they, you know, people say like go to a factory, even, you know, like, but food service was what I liked. I just liked pizza. I liked everything about it. You know, I learned how to work on cars from it cause I was working on my own delivery vehicle.
Right.
So it helped me develop as a person over time. And, you know, I hope that if someone was in that same boat, they're like, I don't have to go this path if I don't want to. And when I did work at a factory for a little bit, and not saying that all factories are like this, but it just wasn't satisfying. There were some cool things I learned from there, though, and I definitely am a better person from doing it, but I see a lot of people just going through life, just going through the motions. And, you know, I mean, sometimes I wonder, were these people saying this because they weren't satisfied in their own right?
A lot of regret in factories. I did, when I got out of high school, I went right into a factory. Worked at Eastern. I did that for over 6 years. And it was fine at first because I was making a bunch of money. Good money. I mean, around, it's so cheap to live here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making $19 an hour at 18 years old. There's people that have master's degrees that aren't even making that nowadays. And this was in 1999. I mean, so I was good, but I mean, as time went on, just like you said, I'm looking around and people are just wore down and beat. It's just like, oh, it's sad. I don't want that to be my life. But it doesn't matter what you do. If somebody's happy at a factory and they like their life and they go out and they do their thing, that's what life's about. It's not, you don't need, whatever makes you happy, you got to live for you.
That's what I mean. That comes full circle with any, you know, like just like we were talking about, like, you know, pursuing your passion, you know, that's, and going on the road. And, you know, most people would either, there's like, I feel like there's a couple different groups of people. People that would say, that's crazy. That's, why would you do that? Why would you leave your job that you're making $19 an hour doing whatever? Why would you do that? That's crazy. But at the same time, it's like, well, why wouldn't I?
Right.
Why, you know, what's wrong with me just pursuing something that I'm excited about and that gets me like amped up? And, you know, because there's a difference between waking up in the morning and going to work when you don't like doing it. And there's a difference between when you're actually happy doing what you're doing. And it's a hard thing to explain to people that are kind of going through the motions of doing what they think the world wants them to do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it, what the world wants you to do. Like, too many, everything is just a group of, it's perspective, man. Everything, you got to follow your own perspective. You got to live in your own reality. That's a brilliant way to put it. Yeah, I don't understand. I went from my first 3 years of comedy, I made zero money. I lived in my car. I mean, it sucked. I still don't make a ton of money now, but I'm happy. So that's where it's at.
And on top of it, when you're doing all this stuff and you go through the hard times, do they feel like they're hard times? Do you have moments where you're like, oh yeah, I hit this bump, but I'm going to get past that?
Right. And it's easier too when you're doing something for yourself, when it's hard times. So like, I got to get myself out of this. And even if I have to work harder, I'm doing it for me, not for somebody else. I think that's a little easier too. You know what I mean? In my aspect of it. So it's like, I got to do this. Well, is this for me? I'm putting in it for myself. So I think that makes it easier.
It's more rewarding when you get through that rough patch.
Very much so.
on a small scale, it's hard unless you go through, like, you know, you're sleeping in your car and you like, and then you look back on it and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It just, when you're doing what you love or you're passionate about, you turn around and you're like, geez, I didn't really like dwell on that. I just kept moving forward.
Right.
And now I'm here, and you kind of get this like perspective where you just want to start beating on your chest. You're like, holy shit, I got that. I pulled that off. I can't believe it. You know, like, and yeah. It's rewarding. It's much like when you're talking about gardening and everything else. You're pretty much with your life and your career and what you're pursuing, you're gardening. It's almost like, you know, it's corny as shit, but it's like you're gardening your soul. Oh. And you're gonna get fruit and satisfaction from each accomplishment that you get from it. And
right.
It's very satisfying when you harvest that. You're like, wow, I achieved this. This is the fruits of my labor.
Right. Well, that's a great way to put it, man. That's, you really like, bam, you found your zen in this one.
The bang. I think it's the bang.
The bang. The bang's kicking in. Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it, though. And that's really what it's all about. Just be happy, man, for yourself. So just like you, your hard work, and yeah, people say shitty things, or they'll try to put you in a bubble. But look where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's not even, I don't even know if it was shitty. Like, meant, like, intentionally shitty. I think it's people, like, you know, like, people like, I'm sure you have the same experiences where people just like ask like these questions that might be backhanded.
Yeah.
But they don't like,
they don't realize.
And you walk away and like, oh, shit, did they just.
Was that a cut?
Did they mess with me there?
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, they don't think about it. They don't think about it at all. Like, oh yeah, he's still beats the guy. Like, yeah, well, that's what I'm doing.
You're just gonna tell some jokes and make people laugh.
Well, I get that too. Yeah. Yeah. You still telling jokes? I'm like, yeah.
you know, and then you know, the mean way to go is like, you still doing that job that you're not satisfying, and that marriage that you're probably not happy in, and you're, you know, like you could, especially being from a comedy background where you could just zing them.
Yeah, just cut them down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have the throwaways in comedy when people, like, talk. So every comic has them loaded up and ready to go. And one of the ones that I hear most is if somebody's talking, they're like, hey, man, I don't come to McDonald's and knock the broom out of your hand while you're trying to work. All right, let me do my job.
Yeah.
Oh, makes them mad, but, yeah. But it's true. But if you're happy working at McDonald's, and I'm not cutting anyone down that is, then do it, man. Whatever makes you happy, do.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And I mean, on top of that, I think a good thing too that that goes along with it is that, you know, if you're happy and there's people around you that are negative, you just got to get away from them.
Bad
like end. Vampires. Yeah. You know? I mean, I learned early on. Like, no, I guess it took me a while to learn, but I mean, there's some people that come and go, but, you know, encompassing with the prior podcast, and you can check on all things country.
I love that. Just one big.
Yeah.
You have to release this one when we release
mine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be like holding on to it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll put a trailer out for it.
You know. I love that.
But they, people think, you know, the way people perceive a lot of those things, I lost it because I lost it on the plug.
Right. Yeah.
Bang. I need another sip.
Yeah. She and Jones with the bang. We'll get back to it. Maybe.
We'll come back.
The wheels turning like, yeah, what the hell was I trying to say? I've had that happen to me on stage before. And it's bad. It's just like it is now. But even though there's not people around, you know that people are going to eventually be listening to this. And they're waiting, like, finish your thought.
Yeah. What profound thing did you think that you were going
to
say?
I need to know. Yeah. But yeah, I'll do that. I've had blanks where I'm on stage and I'm telling a joke or maybe something I just thought of and I'm just like, and I'll just cut out. People just, you got a whole room looking at you and I'm like, nope. I'm like,
Do you own it? Do you own it?
You have to. I own everything. Every mistake on stage, I own it because people want to see that. People love, I think honesty in comedy or anything in life, they love to see it. The best thing I like about comedy and being able to do it is that if I put my insecurities on stage, you know, and a lot of my insecurities, a lot of people have. So when they hear it, they're like, oh, so even if they won't admit it, they know they're not alone. You know what I mean? So that's what I take out of it. And I know that's what hopefully I give, you know, so that's my favorite part about it. Cause if I say some weird shit, somebody's like, oh my God, I feel the same way, you know, and it's like, well, maybe you'll feel a little bit better about yourself. So that's what I like about
it. You just zend out there.
I did.
The energy's powerful.
Yeah. You know, see the end. You're pushing it on me, man. Yeah. I was going to say Sherpa, but that's not right. No.
I don't even know what that is.
A Sherpa is the dudes that carry bags up like Everest. Not bags, but they towed all your shit up Everest.
Okay. I'm all right with that. I mean, yeah, you know that.
You're my spiritual Sherpa.
Yeah.
Man, look at that.
Badass. I'm okay with that. Okay. I mean, yeah, that'd be, you know, maybe we can.
What are you, just some kind of Sherpa guy?
What are you going to do, just carry stuff your whole life? You're just going to put stuff inside these bags and then go up to this big hill?
Big hill, yeah. Is that what you're
still doing that whole thing up with the mountain?
Just the way you're doing that.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I mean, like, but you're going to do other stuff, right? Like this, is this the end?
Is this it? Just the Sherpa thing? You think it's going to work out for you?
You think you can just like liquids and drink them all the time and go up mountains? You think that's cool? You're never going to find Rudolph up there anyway. Yeah, it's not going to matter. You're never going to put an arrow in that.
No. Room. No, you're getting exploding broadheads. That's funny. How long have you been? Well, no, I'm not asking. Well, we're going to talk about hunting. I got to get out of podcast phase because we're reversed now, man. This is your podcast, and I'm almost asked you a question. Like,
that's okay. I mean, this is we're zenning right now.
Oh, we're zenning.
We're volleying the energy ball of zen back and forth.
Well, when you say that too, because when you said energy, and I know it sounds like a hippie thing to say, but I believe, energy is real. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. It's a real thing. And negative energy, it affects you. Positive energy, it affects you. If you're around people who are negative all the time, that's going to affect you, man. It's going to put, I mean, people feed off of it. So it's really, I learned that as well as you did very early on
mm-hmm.
to not surround myself with these people. It would be nothing but bad.
Did you find yourself running around with a pretty rough?
Yeah, when you were younger? I was here. I mean, I felt it was pretty decent. I fell into what I think everyone from St. Mary's, which is our town, falls into. Out of school, I worked hard, you know, 8-10 hours a day. I went out and drank every night, liked to fight. But yeah, a lot of the people I was with were just not good people. And it just, my life was shit. And I'm like, why is my life not good? And I had to just take a look at it. Well, these people, a lot of it had to do with it. Get away from it. So,
and don't you feel that that's a very simple solution, but it comes by very difficult,
right?
You know, it's like, okay,
so hard.
Yeah, you know, it's written all over the place. You heard it from corny ass teachers at ECC.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
you're the sum of the people that you hang out with.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, whatever. I can't wait to get out of here because I'm gonna blow you, especially you. I'm gonna blow a big ass donut in the parking lot.
Yeah,
just to show you that you don't have a hold on me.
Right.
Take that,
ECC. This is what you're going to get. Yeah. And then I went and did it, and I'm like, damn, they're right. Well, they invited me back to do a show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
With Miss Florig, I don't know if you had her.
Yeah.
She was my science teacher, and she's a principal now, but she called me, or she got a hold of me. She's like, hey, we want you to come and talk to the kids. And I said, okay. But I'm like, you remember me, right? Because I was not a kid. Yeah. She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. But I get to the school and she's like, okay, so you just do about 15 or 20 minutes of comedy. And I was like, what? I was like, you want me to do comedy at a Christian high school? There's a level of clean.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, that's clean. But I mean, I made it work, but it was crazy. Then I taught a class the next day. I taught a creative writing class. Yeah. So for me to come back and the student that I was, I barely passed high school. Mm-hmm. I wasn't dumb. I'm very smart, but I didn't care. Exactly. Yeah. I played football. I made my shirt that I was passing so I could keep playing football, and that was it. So, but yeah, I actually came back and taught a class. So I'm like, well, this is cool, man. It made me feel good. I'm like, okay, that's some redemption on my end, I think, maybe.
And some fruit.
And some fruit. Some I harvested soul fruit. Yeah. That's got to be your thing. Medi, I like liquids and I harvest soul fruit.
I'm a farmer of soul
fruit. You are.
Just wandering around soul orchards and just trying to find the best fruit.
The Johnny Appleseed of soul fruit, man.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's even cooler.
So anyone listening to this podcast, if you want to be a guest, man, he will harvest your soul fruit. You will leave.
I will dress up like Johnny Appleseed.
There you go. How does he dress?
He has a pot backwards on his head.
That's right.
I think he might have carried around a sack of seeds.
Probably. It was definitely. Everyone had a sack back in the day.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
And everyone probably dressed like the Huckleberry Finn Tom Sawyer, where your jeans might have been rolled up.
Well, yeah. Barefoot. Right? Barefoot.
I'm not down with that, though.
Not the barefoot?
I don't like feet.
You don't like feet?
I don't like my own feet.
Fair enough. I've been doing comedy barefoot for the last 4 months.
Are you kidding?
I love it. Yeah. I did a 2-month summer tour, and, what is it? It's September. Yeah, it started in June. I did a 2-month summer tour where me and this other comic, we lived in a camper. It fell apart and went shitty. It was awful. But one day I just went up and I had flip flops on and I just took them off and I went up on stage and I did it. It was amazing. So ever since then, I mean, and it's not for anything other than I got really spiritual over the summer because I did this. I was out in the wilderness. I've been having a lot of like anxiety issues and stuff like that, and I'm in the woods and everything went away and I felt awesome the whole time I was out there. As soon as I got back to Nashville, it all came back. I'm like, this isn't right, man.
The anxiety and everything came back.
Everything, yeah. So I felt great for 2 months and I get back to Nashville and all of a sudden it's like, the weight, you know, came back. But I went barefoot pretty much the whole summer, and just being on stage, feeling the stage on my feet, it grounded me and it put me I can't even tell you what it's done for my comedy. It's been awesome.
It's got to be some kind of subconscious comfort level. You're in your house. You take your shoes off, you know, like.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I'm owning it now. I'm barefoot. I can feel.
Yeah.
It's pretty much my living room. And now you guys are all joining me in my living room. So I'm so comfortable and confident on stage. But actually going barefoot, if you research into it, when you walk on the grass and stuff barefoot, you absorb from the ground. I don't know what it is, but it's good for you. I don't know.
I wear shoes in the shower. And you'll never see me barefoot. That's ever. You know. But I mean, maybe I should do it for that reason, because, you know, absorbing nutrients, you know, that's from the grass, the soil, everything, just like we were talking about.
Brilliant Miller podcast. All things contrary. ATC.
ATC.
Yeah, I don't know the exact sciences, but yeah, you take like the electrons or whatever, that or just the energy, it flows through the grass through your feet, and it's just it's good for you. So
they always say that, you know, like in terms of your feet, you can tell what's wrong. You know, like those articles that they have on the quality of your health, and if you want to detox, and they have those weird different methods of like putting pads on your feet to absorb some of the toxins.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's probably a 2-way street. You can't pull toxins from your body, from your feet, if you can't absorb it.
Oh, So there you go. But yeah, so for me, I lived the whole summer I loved it, man, and it made me feel good. So that's why when I was talking about all the wanting to homestead and just get out in the woods, I still want to do comedy, and I don't want to give up. I like TV, I like internet, so I'm not going to go Amish or nothing, but I want to get back to that. I want to be able to just go out, you know, and be in the woods and nature, man. So
that'd be probably one of the best experiences, I think, overall, like for you in general. Because I feel like if you were disconnected, that would also help the comedy aspect, because you're kind of removed from a lot of the silliness that goes on. So it'll be magnified when you're exposed to it again.
Oh yeah,
when you kind of check back in, you're like, wow, these people are crazy.
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah, that maybe some good point of views come out of it too. Mm-hmm. Because now you're all good comics are observers, and they have a good way of being able to like sit back in a crowd and just watch and see what happens. So if you put yourself way back, that's a great point.
Just like when you noticed the Pokemon Go thing when you came back.
Oh my god! Yeah, zombies. So yeah, well, you have to listen to the other podcast for
CATC podcast episode 6.
I love that.
Just one. I mean, maybe that'll just be the logo. Right over top
just,
of it.
Yeah, just CATC pod number 6.
If I knew enough about like the the Works Cited page and all that stuff from school, maybe I'd be able to like make that the logo. Works Cited CATC podcast episode 6, and then put all the stuff underneath it. But I mean, I never did that.
I used the text on photos. Just Google it, and then bam, that's what I use with mine.
Oh yeah,
simple.
Nice.
Yeah. Google is great. What I did in school when we were trying to learn the internet, because, I mean, I was in high school, 94 to 99, or 95 to 99, so it wasn't really much of an internet, but, yeah, I was pretty much looking up naked pictures of Jenny McCarthy.
Singled out.
Something, yeah.
Jenny McCarthy. Yeah.
Whatever I could find. While people were learning how to build stuff, I was like, oh, what can I do? We're playing Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail was big.
Yeah,
huge. That space bar button just smacking the shit out, trying to just and did it come full circle with hunting?
Right.
That's what I before bow hunting, and like being exposed to that from like the Rogan podcast, Cam Haynes. I went out with a rifle, but it was an old like I'm super cheap, and I thought, well, maybe this might be a phase. Maybe I just wanted to get my own meat and be more attached to nature. This was in 2008. I'm walking through, I get an old M44, like Russian rifle with a bayonet on it.
Whoa.
That's what I've been walking around the woods because I don't think everything's, I had the mindset or thought in my head, I think I was delusional about it, that it was going to be like Oregon Trail, where I was going to sit in the woods and animals were going to run and I was going to spin 360, shoot something, and it was going to turn into meat.
Yes.
Like it was going to turn into a bag of jerky.
Bam.
I'd go home and I'd eat the jerky and that would be the day. That was my hunting experience.
Right.
And especially since I know anything about hunting.
Was that the first time in 2008 that you went hunting?
Yeah, I never went hunting.
Wow.
I never shot at, like, last year was the first time I shot at an animal to kill it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. And so, that's especially for this town.
Yeah, because I was way out of the game.
Yeah.
And, like, it was polarizing to me where I was like, I don't understand how you could younger and be an emo and being like, oh, this, why would you want to kill an animal when you put not have an appreciation for any of that stuff from, like, breaking down meat and everything else, right. And like kind of learning more about self-sustaining and soul fruit and everything else.
Soul fruit,
appreciating what you accomplish.
I think that everyone that eats meat should at least once kill their own food one time, because you do. I shot my first buck at 11.
Really?
Yeah, and I cried.
Yeah,
I did. I cried.
Yeah, man, it's very cool that you say that, because in my head, I guarantee you that happened a lot.
Right.
People won't own it. It goes back to what you're saying,
just
that makes me feel better, because I know when it goes down, it's going to be quiet.
Yeah.
It's going to be real quiet and it's like, okay, I just took this life.
You did. And it's not something to take lightly, no matter what it is. So I remember, I shot a 4-point buck and I bawled, and cause I was young. You don't process that at that age. Even now I probably, if you do, it's natural, I think. But I didn't, so I took a life, I didn't process it, even though I used it and I ate it, and it wasn't disrespectful, but I had a hard time with that. But you get through it. But I feel like any hunter that's listens probably like, yeah, this guy's a pussy, but he knows, they cried too.
That's really, because that's the first time that I've actually heard that.
Yeah.
Most people will just be like, they've been doing this since they were younger and everything else, and they're laughing about all the stuff that I'm screwing up, and I'm stomping through the woods, and I'm banging sticks off trees, and I'm yelling. I have no concept of being quiet when I was going out with the rifle and everything the first time. But for someone to say, yeah, that was pretty profound, and I was upset most of the time, you're never going to hear that, especially around here.
Yeah, no. You got to be a man around here.
Yeah. I saw that deer. I took his life.
Yeah.
I went up to it. Last breath. I own it. I walk around with that deer's soul.
Yeah, right? It's mine now. Yeah. And I ate the heart. Rawr. Yeah. Yeah. I admit it. It is what it is.
Did you break it down and everything? Skin it yourself and all
that? My grandfather, I worked with him to do it. So he taught me how. My grandfather is awesome. He's a His name was Moose. Well, he's still alive. His name's Moose, but he's just a big dude. He grew up in the woods. He built his own house. He, badass. Yeah, he had me in the woods before I could even walk. He built like a carrier, and he used to carry me through the woods. And when I was growing up, he would take me through. He'd show me different plants, what I could eat, what I can't eat, what different types of trees were, the animals. He had me shooting a gun when I was like six. He put me up like that. I mean, taught me how to fish. I mean, so I literally, if shit goes down, I can go in the woods around here at least, because everything's different, mm-hmm. you know, but I can live, you know, just from what he taught me. So I think that's necessary. So.
And that ties in with these damn kids these days.
These damn kids.
You know, not getting exposed to that kind of stuff. No. I wasn't exposed to it. I was exposed to other things that helped, but at the same time, right. I mean, being exposed to all that at a young age kind of sets the stage for less intimidation for things as time goes on. Yeah. You know, you have it, whether you realize it or not, in the back of your head, a survival instinct that is able to be switched on. Okay, I'm in the woods. Like, you know, because now, you know, a kid gets lost playing Pokemon Go in the woods, and his cell phone dies.
That's it.
It's coyote food. He's done. You know, yeah. Like where you'd be like, okay, I can eat this. I'll make a lean-to, and I will survive the night, and I'll, you know, make my way out of this.
Yeah.
Where I don't think that's probably going to be the case with these damn kids.
No, these damn kids. Well, it's funny you say that, because my grandfather, my second year hunting, I think, 12 years old, took me back in the woods behind our house. We have a bunch of acres. It was probably a couple miles back. He sat me on a ridge, and it was probably like 3 or 4 o'clock. And because, you know, wintertime, it gets dark 5-ish. He sat me down. He's like, I'm going to leave you here. He's like, once it gets dark, head back to the house. Good luck, basically. And he said, don't come back till it's dark. So and it wasn't a mean thing, but he wanted to make sure, you know, he went back to the house, but he knew, he told me the path. He's like, this is how you get back. He told me, he's like, this is what you do. And he went back to the house. My grandma was losing her mind, because he's like, he just left him there, and he's like, he'll be fine. And sure enough, you know, about 7-8 o'clock at night, and I come walking out of the dark, and there I was. And he's like, you did it. I'm like, I did it. Yeah. 12 years old through the woods. Awesome. Yeah. But I was scared. I'm not going to lie. You walking in the woods at dark is scary, but you learn that there's nothing really, you know, that's going to hurt you. A bear might, well, not even know. Yeah. I don't know. I had a gun.
Yeah. You're good. You're good. And on top of it, you would have, you know, learned some, you know, even if that would have happened, I feel like he would have known that there might have been a bear on top of it.
Right.
Or you would have defended yourself, and you would have kicked in some primal instinct that was latent in you anyways, so you would have been good.
Right.
And then you would have came out just savage. Just, you know, wearing the bear.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
just like a onesie. Just... They're like, wow, he's a man now.
He's a man. Just a bearskin onesie. I like that. Have to make one of those one day.
I mean,
that's funny. So I didn't realize that you just started hunting, and you're going into archery, which is even, I mean, that's really personal.
Yeah.
When you get, because you got to be within, you know, well, 60 at least or less yards, depending on how good of a shot you are. I mean, so that's real, real personal.
Then I lost my first animal I shot. I was last year.
Oh, really?
I lost it.
Did you through and through it, or?
Yeah, pass through.
Yeah.
But I practiced all summer on shooting.
Right.
And not having a background or understanding how to hunt.
Mm.
And I shot it. And I watched like a bunch of YouTube videos just trying to desensitize myself so I wouldn't like kind of flinch up or anything like that.
Right.
So I watched a lot of kill shots and everything to see how the deer would react and what would happen. And I had like those doe wicks, or the doe piss on wicks, at 15 yards.
Okay.
I'm at 20. So if I knew they walked in those parameters, I'd be like, okay, I'm at 15, I'm at 20.
Right.
So I can get, you know, a good shot at and be accurate. Cause that was one of the biggest things, is like, I want to ethically kill this animal when I do. I don't want to suffer. I want to be able to be as clean as possible. So I better practice up and I better train for this. And then come go time, shit just went to the wayside. I'm like, I went every day that I could. And sometimes I just wouldn't go to sleep, so I would just drive out by Gardner Hill, up at my sister and brother-in-law's place, and I'd just sit in the tree stand out there and wait. And that day I went really late, And I was like, I took my car. I didn't even take my truck.
Oh, damn.
And I went in the tree stand. I knocked, like, rattled once. And all of a sudden, this buck comes walking up. I'm like, oh, shit. There's a buck. I counted 3 points on it. I was like, I can shoot that. So then I had my bow pulled back and everything. I just super, like, nervous and everything. And I saw it put its nose up. And from all the videos I watched, I knew that it was picking up my scent. So before I had my anchor point in and everything, I kind of just pulled the trigger. And I got it. But I got him like a liver shot.
Oh.
But it sounded like he just, boom, it sounded like I missed. Because it just was whacking through.
Right.
And I was like, I it was like the roller coaster of stuff. I mean, like, immediately I was like, I got it because it kicked. But then it ran off 10 yards, 15 yards, and just stood there. And then it like walked away. I'm like, did I miss it? What happened here? So then I crawl out, which you shouldn't do.
Right.
And I looked around. I couldn't find the arrow. Because I was so excited that I didn't even know where I really shot at. I went outside that parameter.
Right.
And didn't have my shit together. I mean, it was so many, it's so many good lessons that I learned from it that were super sad that day.
Right.
I mean, I was like, man. And then I found blood trail. And I found the arrow. And it was like Christmas. Because it was all covered in blood. I was like, I got it. So it's got to be around here somewhere. So I started like actually tracking it. And then I'm like, wow, I'm tracking this animal. I'm going to come upon it. And I'd find like blood. Big blood spots where right. I must have been bedding, but I was kicking it. I was like squat walking down a hill, yeah. Up a hill. I pushed that thing over 200 yards and I couldn't find it. I had to come in here to do a stake function, like to break down like 100 fillets. So I was like, man, I'll come back. I went back the next day. I went to a body of water. I'm Googling on what my fletching looks like and everything. So I'm like, oh, okay, so that was a liver shot. I'm like, I'm just trying to combine technology and my lack of knowledge together to get this deer. And
it could be a liver shot. I mean, it could run for miles and that's miles.
Totally yeah. Unaware.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so bad. Like, I was like, just to show how you can prep for one thing, but you're not. It's better to be well-rounded. Like, I should have done more homework on the aftermath rather than goes back to the jerky thing. Like, I was just going to put an arrow and it was going to be dead. Like, how arrogant is that to be like, okay, my first time out hunting and I'm going to put an arrow through a deer and it's just going to drop over. It's the most difficult aspect of hunting. And I'm going to just be able to take my first shot. And it's not like just being totally jaded to the fact that like this, all these other variables are going to happen and I might blow this. I was like, oh, I'm just going to put an arrow in and it's going to die. And that's going to be that. And I'll have my own meat and I'll enjoy some venison. No. Nope.
And once you pull that trigger, oh, that's when the work begins. Because then it's gutting and then you got to drag it and then you got to skin it and quarter. It's so much work, but it's like we're talking about harvesting. You do it yourself. You eat that. You make sausage. You make that jerky. It's so much. It tastes better. It tastes better because you did it.
And I was planning on what I was going to do with it when I found it. I was like, I'm going to make soup stock out of the bones. I'm going to boil the bones. And then, oh, wow. You know, like I was like all excited about it. I think I went out I went out 3 days looking for it just to get the head. Like I was like, I want to at least find this animal that I wounded.
Right.
And I was talking to one of the workers and he's like, maybe it did a death run at the top of the hill. Cause it rained. So I had marked off the last point that I saw and it was at the top of the hill going towards the field. He's like, maybe it did a death run. Okay. So then I was like, I took a 2x4, tied ropes to it. It's probably as long as this desk, you know, and I was just going to like crop circle, like fold the whole field back and forth until I found the body.
Jeez.
And then I was like, I'm going to find this. And then when I got to a point, I was like, oh, I think I found every so often you find a mush, like a favored hoof, like where it was kind of limping almost.
Right.
And I saw it going right back down the hill. In the day two, I went to a body of water and I found like a little pond, but there was a buck there, but it was a 10 point. I was like, that can't be mine. Mine wasn't that big and it was all torn apart by coyotes.
Oh, you found a 10 point.
And I was like, but that can't be mine. It was picked clean.
Right.
I was like, that can't be mine. Mine would have more stuff. So then the third day, when I was at the top of the hill, I'm coming down the hill, seeing that one hoof, and I get all the way down to the water, again, in between the two hills that I just went up and down. And I'm like, I'm at the stream. It must have died here on a bank. And I smelled like rot, you know, like something rotting. I was like, oh, it's around here somewhere. I look over. I had walked all the way back to that spot where that 10 point was at.
Oh.
So my first, and then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, man. I flipped the deer the other way when it was facing me in my tree stand. And it had the 3 points, but I didn't count for the middle point or anything like that. So it
was the tine or the brow tine. So that was your deer, the 10 point?
I pulled the head out. And I went so far as because I was like, man,
especially around here, I'm like, people are going to say, yeah, you just found it, but nobody hunts on that land.
Right.
And on top of it, with the antlers looking the way that it did, because I can picture, I can, like, it, every time I, like, really think about it, I can still picture when it walked in front of me, and it has the same thing. So I just, I looked up the maggots on the life cycle and what they look like at so many days. And
wow.
I took pictures of it because I was like, I don't want somebody to be like.
So you CSI'd the shit out of that.
Yes. I mean, from blood patterns to freaking, you know, like way, way above and beyond what you should do or what you, and what needed to happen. Most people just went like, yeah, that's probably your deer.
Right.
But I just didn't want to like.
What's your first deer? You don't want to leave it to chance or you want to, yeah. For your own personal. Yeah, I get that, man. That's because that's your first. You don't want to have any doubt on your first kill.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Plus, I wanted to be like, well. I'll at least take this back, and I boiled it and European mounted it, like, and bleached it and everything, and it sits right next to the TV in the living room where nice. I see it every day and kind of think, like, get your shit together.
And the European's just the skull. Bleach the skull in Europe, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, but coyotes can tear a deer apart pretty quick, man.
Did you ever hunt any of them or anything like that?
Coyotes? Yeah. I've shot a couple.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember what my buddy, I'll shoot whatever I can shoot. I didn't really feel bad about the coyote for whatever reason. But this is when I was older, too. But, yeah, because we'd have a doe tag or we're out. You can shoot. You can use one of your tags for a coyote. So, yeah, we definitely plugged a couple of those. They're a nuisance. I love Rogan's podcast because he talks about how smart they are, though. In Yellowstone, they released the wolves. And since the wolf population is getting bigger, the coyote population, you would think, being that they're natural enemies and predators, would get smaller. But when the coyotes are getting killed off, the females have more pups in their litter. So as their numbers dwindle, the females start having more pups. So they're actually, their population is exploding because of this. Yeah, so that's just how nature is so messed up, man.
It adapts.
It adapts, yeah. It's crazy.
No matter how you try to control it, it's going to figure out another way to reproduce.
Yeah, it's going to reboot it, man. Yeah, so now these coyotes are having like twice as many pups in these litters, so they're just booming.
Wow.
So it's crazy. But yeah, I haven't done much archery hunting. I've done a lot of I killed a deer once, never put a bullet in it.
Really?
Yeah. It was the third day of doe season. I was frustrated. I may or may not have been hunting from my car. You know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Statue of limitations got to be up on it. But so we're down this road, and I see three deer up on like an outcrop. It's like a little hill, and there's a bunch of rocks. You know, we have all the rocks, and so they're kind of on the rocks. And I had my 308. I put it on the hood, and I'm a crack shot with my 308, man. I don't miss. And I put it on the shoulders. I pulled the trigger. I saw the deer jump and go down, right? So we left because you got to give it, you know, if you're hunting that way. Don't think I'm a bad hunter because I just wanted the meat. And that's what I did. I was frustrated. So I'm not going to even justify it. I did what I did. But so we came back like half hour, 45 minutes later. I walked up. There's my deer. So we got it off the rocks, getting ready to gut it. And me and my buddy are both looking. He's like, there's not a bullet hole in this. Like, did not put a hole. My scope had been off about 6 inches down and to the right. To the right. So I went right underneath him, but I scared her, and she jumped and broke her neck. She fell and broke her neck.
What?
Yeah, I swear to God, it's the craziest thing. This is what we figured, anyways. I mean, her neck, because the way she hit the rock, I mean, her neck was screwed up. I don't know, maybe she had a heart attack. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I never put a bullet in it, but I scared it to death.
That's up there. That's a pretty good claim.
That's a pretty good claim. Said no ruined meat. Perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at best, if you shoot it, you get a good hard shot, you're going to ruin some of your high and your front shoulder. You know what I mean? Nothing. Perfect.
That's crazy.
Yes, don't road hunt. But if you need meat.
If you need meat, yeah. You know.
We always saved it for the last day. Like, we don't get nothing. We know where we could go to get a deer. So we would put the work in, you know, for the first 2 days. It's like, all right, well, you only get 3 days. I want a meat, so I want a meat.
I want a meat.
Oh, that sounded great.
That's, from my understanding, just talking to people, I mean, a lot of people have a misconception of, you know, people
just wanted to hunt just to kill, but a lot of times people just wanted to meet. People just want to fill their freezer.
Yeah. And
not being able to do that, especially during that time, I feel like the deer population was way different than it is now.
Right.
And some people could probably argue that, but I remember seeing deer just like even on Bucktail when I was growing up out there, like just you go to the bus in the morning, it'd be like a bunch of deer just chilling.
Yeah.
I mean, but now.
That's right. I grew up out on Bucktail too.
Did you really?
Jackson Road.
Good spot.
Yeah.
Jackson Road. I was before J&L.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, out by Crowners.
Yeah. Well, Crowners butts up to our land.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Crowner has the train.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my grandfather's land, that's actually where my grandpa took me hunting, through Crowners, down in that hollow down by West Creek is where I was. Yeah, so our land butts right up to Crowner's land.
What a small world.
Right? Well, especially this town. Small, yeah, but yeah, that's the woods I grew up in. So I loved it. I mean, just everything. Being that, that's, I grew up in the woods, out. I mean, that's where I played. Love it. I wouldn't trade it.
That's one of my, I think that's my favorite section of town. Yeah. It's like Bucktail, Rosie Road, Jackson, West Creek, that side of town.
Yeah.
Give me a chunk out there and I'm good.
Yeah. You know? That's why I'm blessed, because we have a lot of land, man, and it's all coming to me. So that's why, like I said today, I was out chopping down trees and just doing it. So I love it. I love coming back home. It really grounds me. It makes me feel good, because I come back here and here I'm still Brad. Everywhere else, I'm Bubba, which is fine, and because that's who I want to be, but I like being able to come here and, you know, talking to you, and she don't care. We talk.
Yeah,
people are like, hey, this is Brad. It doesn't matter, so. But I get these looks, and when people recognize me here, because whatever celebrity I have in the world outside of St. Mary's, which is, you know, it's a fair amount, but when I'm here, it's amplified for people that don't know me, because I'm at Walmart, and, they'll stop and they'll look at me, and then they'll just like keep looking at me, and I'll hear them be like, I think that's Bubba Bradley, and I'm just like, yes.
Do you try to acknowledge it, or you just kind of, just, you're kind of minding your business?
It's so awkward for me, and I know it's not meant to be, but I get awkward about it. There was one, when I first did Last Comic Standing, and I aired my episodes, and people were recognizing me for it, and I forget where I was, but... And someone came up like, hey, man, I saw you on Last Comic Standing. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He's like, can I get a picture with you? And I said, sure. And I did it, and there was a bunch of people around. I saw me taking a picture with him. So they wanted – I ended up doing like 4 or 5 pictures. But they didn't know me. I know they didn't know me. They saw this dude, you know, getting a picture, and they're like, oh, these must be famous. And I was like, nah, I don't – it's just awkward. So I try not to acknowledge it unless I have to.
Nice. That's probably the smoothest, especially around here, because I'm not bad about the St. Mary's. But St. Mary's folks sometimes get a little awkward. especially in a Walmart. Yeah. They'll get real awkward.
They would get real awkward.
I won't even mess with a Walmart until, you know, the third shift crew knows me out there. Like, hey, how's it going?
Right.
I'm not going into that dangerous, you know, deep water.
Right.
At 11 o'clock on a Sunday.
Good Lord.
If you go out there at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, like you personally.
Right.
You might not make it back.
I might not. My grandma sends me out all the time to shop for her. And every time I go out, she's like, what took you so long? I'm like, I don't know, Walmart. I see people or people, like, it just happens.
And you can't, especially, you can't just snub.
No.
At a Walmart, even though we're awkward here.
Right.
We'll remember that.
They will remember that, yeah.
I was in the cereal aisle. Bubba Bradley walked right past me.
He is such a dick.
I was looking right at him. I was staring at him the whole aisle from the beginning to the end. He got to the Life cereal, and he looked the other way and just kept on walking.
That dick. I bought his CD.
Never again. Never again.
I know. I try to be as nice as possible, because I don't ever want to be, I don't, even no matter what level, whatever I reach, I don't want to be that guy that's like a dick to people that are just trying to be fans, because they're the ones that made you that way. You got to keep that.
Good point.
Yeah, you got to keep that groundedness. Groundedness.
Is that ground. I'm on board with it.
Oh, groundedness. We'll let it fly.
Sold.
Sold. I'm buying it. Done. But yeah, you got to keep that, man, because you got to remember where you came from. I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm like, I don't know. Don't talk to me. Like, I'm better than you. I'm not better than anybody. So there comes to a point where it gets to be grueling, you know. It's just like, okay, dude. Like, I've given you time. Now you're just. I gotta not.
It goes back to the energy thing. You're giving some people some positive energy, but at the same time, you're like a battery.
Yeah, you're draining
me. When you go to check out and you go off the grid, that's your recharge. But, you know, you might run into 20 people.
Right.
And they might just boom, 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 clip, you know, so much energy out of you. And it's nothing, and it's not meant to be negative.
No.
You know, but it just happens, you know. They in exchange, they think, you know, they're getting something from it and you're giving them something. But at the same time, it's like, man, I just want to come in here and just come in and check out.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even realize that I did something like that when the guy that I lived with for a couple of years, every time I would come back from a tour, I would just go in my room for like 2 or 3 days. I would never even come out or barely ever talk to him, you know? And he was just like, yeah, you don't notice you do that. And I'm like, no, I didn't even notice. He's like, well, and I guess that's my recharge. I just disappeared. And, you know, because you go on like a 2-3 week tour and it's people every night and you just got to be funny and you got to be that guy. And I just get back home and I'm just like, I got to decompress. But I guess that was my way. I would just like clam up into my room. I wouldn't say anything to him. I would walk out to the kitchen and everything, but I would just not talk to him. And at first, yeah. He was weird about it at first, but he's an entertainer too. Excuse me, he understood, but I never even realized it about myself. So,
when you go on the road and you do shows, do you also do like the after show, like where you hang out and BS with people and do like
yeah?
And I always when I think of that on the flip side, I always think, you know, you just gave 110% on stage,
yeah,
and then you got to do this thing afterwards. That's even more, I feel like, would be more energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because they expect you to be that person, too. Mm-hmm. And to a certain extent, you have to be. You know what I mean? And for me on stage, I'm lucky because who I am on stage is pretty much who I am off stage, give or take a couple of degrees. You know, it's not exactly because I always say Bubba is way more outgoing than Brad is.
Like, okay.
I could be outgoing, but Bubba's way more over the top. He's the one. Brad's kind of like, oh, I'm just going to like hang out and just do my own thing. I want to be in the woods. I want to hunt. Bubba's like, I need attention, you know, so.
Okay.
But you're still getting me, just different sides. But yeah, so it's brutal. I learned my lesson. I used to get super drunk and hang out with people after shows, and then they would take me to different bars, and it gets weird.
What?
It gets, because a comic told me once, he's like, just remember this. He's like, when you're in the comedy club, you're the main attraction. That's who you are. Once you leave that club with these people, you're just another guy. And a lot of shit gets weird. So if I'm with a group of people who know me in the club and there's girls there and they like me, if another group of people comes in, it gets to be awkward because they don't know me or care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we just it got weird a lot.
Wow. Yeah.
So I learned my lesson. A lot of weird stuff. I've ended up in a lot of people's houses where I'm like, I shouldn't be here. Like, I'm going to end up in a basement or something. Like, somebody's going to, like, I was very, very loose with what I would do. I'm like, I can't, no, I got to stop.
Do you drink at all for shows or anything like that now?
No, not for the last couple of years. I've just been doing sober.
How do you feel about it overall?
I like it.
That's cool.
Being sober, because just being able to be more cognitive and, regardless of how good I thought it, when I first started and I was drinking, it was more of a reflex, I think. And, I was nervous. That took me the longest to get over was the fear of the stage. It took me years, but alcohol, I'm like, oh, I'm so much better, but nah, I'm not. I'm still funny, but I'm just funny in a drunk way. I'd rather be funny in a cognitive, like cerebral, like, you know, so it's better.
And on top of it, I feel like everyone has that, I don't know how many drinks it might be, because I see it in the bar all the time. There's the funny, charming amount of drinks.
Right.
But it changes like that. You go from really cool to like all of a sudden, you're that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. I definitely become that guy. I'm very bad with whiskey. I become a raging asshole. Like I try to pick fights. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I'm bad. I do not drink well. It's a family thing.
Just whiskey? Are you like the type that like has a certain, like, I can't do shots of this because I turn into a werewolf.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Jack is good with me for the most part, but anything else, tequila, I'll go to jail.
I think that's common.
Yeah.
I think, or not very common, but I feel like I have a joke that if I'm watching people drink at a bar, if a girl comes up to you and she buys a shot of tequila or buys you a shot of tequila, odds are she probably wants to get weird.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like the subliminal, like, hey,
we're probably going to leave at the same time. Here's the shot of tequila. I watch it happen all the time. Like, what? Like, it's like saying, like, I'm disregarding any decisions I'm making right now because I'm showing you that I'm picking the worst liquor of them all. Like, I'm pretty much, I'm fair game.
Right.
And, I mean, guys are the same thing. They're like, dude, let's do a shot of tequila. I'm like, oh, no.
No, no.
Don't do it. Don't. And then here we have, like, some different tequilas where they're, like, they're the smoother, higher, so they don't get that snap back where they're like, oh, where they do that, like, hard swallow where they stop for a second and their brain's like, don't do another one of those.
Right.
You don't want another one of that.
Oh, the smooth, the silver, the 1800, right?
Yeah, Patron. And then there's, like, this one that comes in a cool skull, so then it attracts people right away because it's, like, you know, it's got this skull, like, that's painted, like, in the style of, like, the death worship and, you know, and all that. So it's a cool looking skull. So it grabs your attention. And on top of it, it's 100 proof.
Woo, 100 proof tequila?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That's too much. Yeah. I would, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I have gotten either, I've fought in this alleyway more times than, I mean, because we're sitting behind us here at Market Street. And yeah, so many. My brother can attest to it. Like, he would come pick me up after the bar and always be pulling me off of somebody. I was just that dick. But I'd get to a point where I would be so drunk, I couldn't fight, but I would just love to pick a fight. And there would be times where I have a hard head. I have a big, giant hard head. And I would be talking shit. Dudes would be punching me. And literally, I would not be fighting back. I would just be getting hit, but I would still be talking shit as people are pulling me away.
That amount of liquor that turns you into Ollie in his prime. We're just talking shit.
Just talking shit. Yeah, how degrading would it be being the person you're talking shit to is just giving you everything he has and you just taking it and still talking shit.
That's the worst. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, that guy probably left really bummed out. You know, after the fact, he's probably, like, on the ride home, like, man, guess it's dude. Did you hear him? Should you say to me while I was punching him?
I was kicking his ass. But I'd wake up the next morning and I would just be beat. And I'm like, what happened to me, you know? And they would tell me, like, dude, like, you were just talking. Dude was just railing you. And I'm like, well, you just get to a point where it's like you were saying with that plateau, man, with anything. Like, if you're playing pool and you got just the right amount of beers where you're just awesome, right? But then one beer, boom, you're done. Yeah, you go over that. That's how I was with drinking. Like, I'm smooth sailing, and the next thing you know, I'm like, woo, America, hillbilly coming out. Yeah.
That's like the, I just was at a wedding, and now that I don't go out as much as I used to, so, like, I don't drink often, and I got this bad habit of putting people in a penalty box. I just boxed this, I'm talking about chicken coops, and, like, this poor girl, that she was introduced to me because she has chickens, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just talking.
You opened
she,
it.
And, yeah, and she was locked up. Had to have been 40 minutes, an hour. I don't know what I was talking about. I was probably talking about every single thing that I like about chicken coops and chickens and eggs. And this girl turned over at one point, and I kind of, like, didn't realize how hard I was rambling until she turned over, looked at her boyfriend. She's like, I'm all chickened out. Like, I'm like, oh, I was that guy.
That's funny.
She's boxed up. Too many drinks.
Too many drinks.
Running my mouth.
Oh, that's great. That's funny.
Believe it or not, I think we did another hour and 7.
We did it, really?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Like that. We covered soul fruit.
Soul fruit, yeah.
I mean.
Hunting?
Hunting.
We harvested soul fruit.
We didn't just come by and look at it.
No. We picked it.
Yeah.
We're going to feed off of it.
That's big.
I've learned. I'm coming out of this a better man, Meddy. Just so you know.
It's a two-way street.
You're just a pizza guy, and just, you did it.
You're just a pizza guy. You're just gonna pick soul fruit for the rest of your life.
That's not what you're gonna do. Carry shit. That's awesome, man.
What anything that you wanna put out there in terms of your social media and stuff like that? People to follow you?
Oh yeah, man. Well, obviously, atcpod.com is the website for the podcast. You gotta have to listen to that to get the first. I'm probably gonna put this with an accompaniment on mine, so I'll put this on my website as well, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, follow me on Twitter, Bubba_comic. I'm on, the Snap, no, what is it? The other one, the Instagram. Yeah, Bubba_Bradley. And then, just find me on Facebook, Bubba Bradley. It's easy. So nice. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. It was a great talk.
I got all kinds of things out of the way. Yeah. You know, you get the best person to have to get me out of there with podcasting and everything.
That's awesome.
I'm super pumped about it, and I'll be able to hopefully do this some more, because I mean, we just bullshit an hour.
Yeah, we didn't even cover a lot of things we could have covered.
No, I mean, I feel we got a bunch in the tank to pull from. Yeah. And who knows, after the soul fruit's eaten and digested, what might come from it.
What's going to come, yeah, on the Yeah, so anytime I'm in town, man, I always come and see you anyways. I love you guys. So, yeah, we'll do it. We'll sit down, and I'll have you back on my podcast again. So it will not be the end. It'll be first of many.
And then on top of it, anybody that's offended or didn't agree with any of this stuff, I'm just a pizza guy.
He's just a pizza guy.
Just a pizza guy. You can't get mad about this. That'll be my end every time. If I offended you, I'm sorry. I'm just a pizza guy. Don't take it serious. Thank you.
Thanks, man.